evening again, and to be back to minister the Word of God in the Lord's house here at Sandown. We're just going to begin our service by asking for the Lord's blessing upon it. Our Lord and our Heavenly Father, we just thank Thee that we can come before Thee tonight. We thank Thee for the desire that's been placed in each person's heart here this morning, dear Lord, to come into Thy house and to meet together as the children of the Lord. And Lord, we pray that this evening You would be with us, dear Lord, in the praise, in the prayer, dear Lord, and even in the preaching as well. And dear Lord, that You would be a help in each one of these parts, and that we would seek to glorify Thee in all that is done. We want tonight to see Thy name glorified and Thy name lifted up. And most importantly, Lord, we want to see the salvation of souls. Dear Lord, use us tonight, dear Lord. Work through us so that we may see souls turn to Thee. Prepare hearts, Lord, and be with us now in Thy most precious name. Amen. We're going to commence our service by standing to sing. And we're going to sing the hymn number 306, Not Ashamed to Own My Lord. We'll stand to sing this hymn together. We're going to bow our heads together around the throne of grace, and I encourage each and every one to join as we pray to the Almighty God. Our Lord and our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that we can come and we can sing. We can come and sing about the cross of Jesus Christ. We can come and we can sing about that light that was shown to us, about our sins being forgiven, about our lives turned around, and about a Savior who loved us so much that He died on a cross. Lord Jesus, we just thank Thee for the privileges that we have. We know, dear Lord, that there are many places that do not have the same privileges that we have today. They do not have the same openness of worship. And we pray for our persecuted brethren this evening. We pray for those around the world who are in fear and trembling on the Lord's day in case they get caught simply worshiping Thy most precious name. Dear Lord, we ask that we will never take it for granted that we can meet here. We will never take it for granted that we can literally together in an open place come and sing together. Lord Jesus, we thank Thee for the boldness with which we can come to the throne of grace. We thank Thee for each heart that's bowed tonight, whose inner voice is lifted up in praise and admiration and is praying unto Thee, dear Lord. For each one who is seeking Thy face for their different desires, dear Lord, for their different wants, for their different concerns. Dear Lord, whether it tonight be for a friend or family member who is at the service, whether it be tonight, dear Lord, simply for an encouragement in their own hearts, as they pray, dear Lord, may they have their hearts opened. May the Holy Spirit visit them and may their lives be changed. Lord Jesus, we just pray tonight for Thy help and for Thy presence. We know, dear Lord, that we can do nothing of ourselves, that tonight, if we were here depending upon man's responsibility, well, dear Lord, I probably wouldn't be in this pulpit. Dear Lord, we know that it's through Thy help alone that we can come and we can seek Thy face. We thank Thee for the desires that Thou hast put into our sinful bodies, dear Lord, into our sinful natures, that, dear Lord, we can seek Thee, dear Lord. We can seek the Father who loves us, and we can seek to worship and to serve Thee in that love. We pray tonight, dear Lord, that the things of this week, this incoming week, and the things of the past week would fade away, that the attention would solely be upon Thy word. And even as we come to look at the life of this man tonight, dear Lord, that You, dear Lord, would be in the meeting, that Thy message and Thy gospel will be seen, not the life of this man, but that Thy message would be seen as the foremost message going out tonight. We pray, dear Lord, that You would be with each one as they prepare their hearts. We pray that the saint would be encouraged. We also pray that the sinner would be warned. We pray for the brethren who are gathered in tonight and need an encouraging word, that they would receive it. We pray also for our friends here tonight, dear Lord, who have no desire to know Thee. We pray that Thou wouldst open their hearts tonight. Thou wouldst prepare that ground, dear Lord, for the sowing of the seed of the Word of God, and that their hearts and their lives would be turned upside down, that they would come to a saving faith of Thee, that they would have a close relationship with our Heavenly Father. Dear Lord Jesus, we just pray for those that cannot be with us tonight. You know, there are those who would love to be in God's house and yet cannot make it, whether they be at home, dear Lord, whether they be in the hospital, dear Lord, wherever they may be tonight, even as they may tune in, dear Lord, or even as they may just cast their thoughts towards the evening service at Sandown, that they would know Thy presence and Thy help, and that they would feel the Spirit of God speaking to them wherever they are. We know that Thy Spirit is not limited to this house, and we praise Thee for that. We praise Thee that wherever we go, we can know Thy presence in our lives. Just ask, dear Lord, now for help in the different components of the service. Just ask for help as we sing Thy praises, that we would do it with full knowledge of what we are saying and that we would think about every word. We just pray, even as we seek Thy face now, that again we would all partake together in seeking Thy face, that it would be our prayer and not just mine. We pray, dear Lord, as the Scriptures read, that we would listen to it attentively, that we would hear the Word of God speaking It's a living word, and we thank thee for it. And we pray, dear Lord, that we would hear it. And even as we open the scriptures to speak upon them tonight, Lord, you give me the help and the Holy Spirit to be able to speak on them truthfully, to be able to speak on them and expound them, rightly dividing the truth. And, dear Lord, that it would be a message from thee to the hearts that need it. Just pray for thy precious presence tonight, dear Lord. Pray for an infilling of thy Holy Spirit, and that each one would know Christ visiting their lives tonight. We pray all these things in that most precious blood of Jesus Christ, the blood that washes away all of our sin, removes guilt in this life, removes fear of death, and instead brings us into a lasting peace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read from the scriptures now. And we're going to turn to Daniel and the chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. And recently on Facebook, I have been very much encouraged in listening into the evening service in Sandown. There's been many testimonies which have very much encouraged me. And as I was thinking about this evening service, I was happening to study Daniel. And so as we turn to Daniel chapter 4, what we have here, I believe, is the testimony of Nebuchadnezzar. And so before I come to speak on this in the closing moments of our service, I want first of all to read this chapter of Daniel. And I want you to imagine Nebuchadnezzar, who is the mighty king of Babylon. In fact, he was so powerful at one point in time of his reign, he became known as the king of the universe. He was in control of a lot of the commerce of the known world. And he was at a height of power which was all given to him by God, that people really revered and worshipped him nearly. And I believe that this passage was either spoken to Daniel in private, as Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar would have known each other very well, or maybe even Nebuchadnezzar proclaimed this before his loyal subjects. We do not know in what situation, but I do believe that this is the testimony of Nebuchadnezzar. And so before I come to preach on it, I want to read through this chapter. It's a bit longer than I normally would read, but I want to read through it, and I want you to hear Nebuchadnezzar's testimony from the Word of God. So let's read together. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and I told them the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all the beasts of the field had shadow under it. And the fowls of heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and an holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, Hew down the tree, and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, forasmuch as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation. But thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonied for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation therefore to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached on to the heaven and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation, it is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven and saying, Hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. And he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand, or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Amen, and may the testimony of this man through the word of God be a blessing to our hearts. We're going to sing our second hymn of praise, and it's hymn number 246. We'll stand to sing the hymn number 246 together. At this point of our service, I'd like to invite our brother Paul to come and give the announcements again.
Well, on behalf of the Reverend Wilson, we're glad to see each one gathered in the house of God tonight, and we do welcome you in the Saviour's name. I have to watch what I say tonight because a number of people have already referenced that I think I overused the word welcome this morning. But you can never be welcome too much. Sure, you can't. It's good to see everyone out tonight, and we trust that each one will know the blessing of the Lord. And also to those who are watching in online, we're glad to have you as part of our service tonight. Also, a very warm welcome again to our brother Stephen. We're very thankful for his ministry among us this morning, and we do pray that the Lord will bless him again in the ministry of the gospel. And good to see the family out again tonight. And we're glad to see you tonight again. Also, my sincere apologies for not making mention of our brother Sammy, who was out this morning. We're glad to see Sammy and Irene out with us again in the Lord's house. The meetings for this incoming week, Thursday night at 8 p.m., we meet together for our Bible study and prayer meeting. And our speaker this Thursday will be our own minister, and we'll be so thankful to have him back among us. I'd be glad to have him back to do the announcements, that's for sure. And so we're looking forward to having the Reverend Wilson back with among us and with us on Thursday night. Then next Lord's Day, Sunday the 1st of August, we meet at 11:30 a.m. for morning worship. 6:30 p.m. is the gospel service, and our own minister, the Reverend Wilson, will be among us. And our singer on Sunday night will be our young brother, Mr. Ryan Garnham. Do continue to pray. Very much so for the summer camp that begins tomorrow morning, and pray for Kyle and for Anna and for the team, and especially all those who are logged in and will join together in the work of summer camp. And do pray each day that the Lord will really bless the ministry of his word amongst the boys and girls throughout this week. Do continue to remember all those who are still shut in, for those that are still very unwell. At this time, continue to pray for our sister Molly especially, and others who are going through difficult times. Do also remember that no offerings continue to be lifted, and the boxes are at the doors as you leave. And again, Stephen, we will use the words welcome. We're so glad to have you with us today, and we trust the Lord will bless you in the gospel tonight. God bless you.
Thank you, Paul. And sure, we'll get a wee thesaurus up here to help you look up different words for next time. We're going to turn back to Daniel chapter 4. It is great to be along and to be able to preach the word of God and to be able to look at the message of the gospel, which can be found in all of Scripture. And as I said, tonight we're going to be looking at this, the testimony of Nebuchadnezzar, and we're going to be studying what God can say through it. We'll just ask for his help first, though, before we start. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank thee that we can come before thee. We thank thee for thy saving power, which is able to save from the very least to the very greatest in all of this world's existence. Lord, thy hand is never too short to save anyone. There is no one out there that is not out of reach. Lord, you can save to the uttermost. And we just thank thee that we're reminded of this as we look at this man, Nebuchadnezzar, Lord, but that we're reminded, dear Lord, that you can and you will change lives. And we just pray that as we look at this passage this evening, that you would even open hearts, that you would even speak to hearts, that you would turn the sinner's mind on, dear Lord, so that it will listen, dear Lord, so that it will hear, and that those that are listening tonight will know that they are listening to the word of God, a word that never changes, and a word which is able to save to the uttermost. We just pray, dear Lord, that thou be with me and that thou would bless my words as I speak tonight, and pray for thy most precious presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Around the year 630 BC, a man called Nabopolassar gave birth to his firstborn son, who was known as Nabucodurusser. This man, Nabucodurusser, and I'll not be saying that again, is most famously become known as Nebuchadnezzar, because that is the way that we translate it in the scriptures, and that's how we are most familiar with Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Nabopolassar was the instrument for a revolt against the current empire of his time, and he lived in a small and not that well-known city called Babylon, and he proclaimed himself king of Babylon at that time. He went on to have many great military conquests, and he had some success, but it wasn't until his son, who worked his way up through the ranks of the Babylonian army, it wasn't until he took charge and became king that the Babylonian Empire really flourished. It is said that at a time, the Babylonian Empire stretched a lot of what was the known world then. In modern terms, it covered all of Syria, Iraq, Israel, part of Iran, part of Saudi Arabia, and Turkey. It stretched right from the Mediterranean Sea until the Persian Gulf. It really was a vast amount of land for one man to rule over. But one of the greatest things that Nebuchadnezzar was known about wasn't just his military conquests. It was the most famed walls of Babylon. And it was the structures that he created in this city, Babylon. To give you some context of what Babylon was like, the walls that surrounded it were about 20 meters high. If you think of the bank buildings in where Primark's located in the city, the walls the whole way around the city were about that high, and it said that you could race two chariots around the top of them. And the largest structure that Nebuchadnezzar created, and was probably one of the largest structures of his time, was a temple to one of the false gods there, and it was about 26 stories high, so about the height of the Grand Central Hotel in Belfast there. And so he was very well known for his grandeur, for his might, for his military conquest. He was a man who, as I said, at one point was known as King of the Universe, so great was his power. But there's very little said in secular history about what we find in the scriptures. There is what is associated as a myth with Nebuchadnezzar's fall into madness. Secular history sees Nebuchadnezzar as a great conqueror who was well-respected and well-renowned throughout the whole world, but they never see the side of Nebuchadnezzar that the scriptures talk about. And sadly, Nebuchadnezzar, he was a very wicked man. He was the tool that the Lord used to punish the Jewish people. But I believe that in the final years of his life, Nebuchadnezzar came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, or the Most High God, as he would have known him as, the Most High God that Daniel would have talked to him about. And so I want to look at this passage and see the gospel in Nebuchadnezzar's testimony. And the first thing that I want to point out in this passage is that there was a prophecy given to Nebuchadnezzar. There's a prophecy for Nebuchadnezzar. You know, if anybody here wants to be saved, the first they need to hear the word of God. They need to hear the message of the gospel. And as you listen here tonight, you are listening to the most wonderful, the most powerful message that could ever be told you. And Nebuchadnezzar, praise the Lord, had a man who was very faithful right in his courts. And that man was Daniel. And Daniel came to the king and he prophesied to him. And before we even get to chapter 4, Daniel has spoken to the king about the Most High God many times. Now, Nebuchadnezzar took Daniel up wrong, and he thought that it was Daniel's greatness. And if you look at, I think it's at the end of chapter 2, yes, at the end of chapter 2, it says that King Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel. He didn't really fully understand the message that Daniel was trying to tell him to begin with. But Daniel was there to give him a message which was for his salvation. We need to hear a message from the right source and the right people. And Daniel wasn't the only man who was giving advice to Nebuchadnezzar. In fact, Nebuchadnezzar, first of all, turned to these, they're described in here as magicians. The verse is 7, the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers. These were people who would have come and would have whispered false teachings and false kind of ideas into Nebuchadnezzar's mind. And Nebuchadnezzar, he was quite a religious person. He was someone who, if you look at his greatest monuments he created, they were all to some sort of god. He was a person who, it is said that in the procession, the very famous Ishtar Gate, in the procession, almost every single one of the stones that paved the way into Babylon had a prayer to some of to the gods that the Babylonians worshipped. He was a man who respected the word of the gods, but he was a man who got the wrong message from people. You know, the Lord Jesus warns us of false teachers. In John chapter 10, he talks about the good shepherd and knowing the sheep. And he says, the Lord Jesus says in John chapter 10 in the verse 8, he says, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. He also mentions in verse 10 how the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And the Lord Jesus here is letting us know that he's the good shepherd, but that there will be others. There won't just be the voice of Jesus crying out. There will be others who will be trying to get your attention. Of course, all directed under the mastermind, Satan himself. And if we listen to others, we can be very quickly taken away from the truth. There are many things that try and grab our attention today. There are many things in this world which are very easy for us to naively put before the message of the gospel. Things which, in their own right, are potentially important. But when it boils down to what this life is really all about, they pale in its insignificance in the face of the gospel. Maybe it's work. Maybe you think to yourself that as you listen to your colleagues, as you listen to the world around you, that you've got to serve and you've got to work as hard as you can so that you can get a promotion, so that you can do better in life, so that you continue to work your way up the ranks. Maybe that's what you're working for. Maybe that's what your God is. Maybe that's what you're listening to, the people around you. You know, I work at a university, and that is one of the things that are pushed in students from the very beginning to the end of your degree. Make sure you know what you're doing in 5-10 years' time. Make sure that that's your focus. Make sure that that's what you're working towards, that that's all you think about, really. You know, you're doing this for the reason so you can go places. That's what we're told by the world. We're also told by the world to just do what feels good. We're told by the world just to do what feels right. The world says, you know, if you think that's your truth, you just do it. There is no absolute truth. The truth is relative. It depends how your brain works. You know, we're all unique individuals. Think what way you want to think. The world will teach us very pleasant things. If you turn to Second Timothy 4. Yeah, 2 Timothy 4. In the verses 3 and 4, and the Apostle Paul says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." And that's what's happening in this day and age. We are hearing so many fables, and we are turning to them because our ears are itching. We're starting to get an inkling that, oh, wait a minute, maybe I am wrong. Maybe I am in sin. But this guy over here, he's telling me I'm not that bad of a person, so I'll just listen to him. Our conscience is starting to let us know that we need the Lord, that there is a God, and so we just turn it off. We walk away from the truth. As sinful man, we want to hear what we think is right. And Nebuchadnezzar, the first place that he turned to, like most of humanity, in fact, all of humanity really, was those who told him the things that he thought sounded good. Those who told him what he really wanted to hear. Not those that told him the truth. And these men, they came, and it's quite ironic. These are the people that Nebuchadnezzar wants to hear telling him something good. They couldn't tell him a thing. You know, eventually, the world doesn't really have an answer. You work hard to get to your promotion. You get to that point. What does the world say? The same thing again. Keep going. Don't stop. You've got to keep going. There is no end in sight, really. Just keep earning more money. You think of the richest people in the world, what do they want? More money. I've got so many million, I've got to make to a billion. I've got so many cars, I just want a couple more. Eventually, the world cannot satisfy. And Nebuchadnezzar here, even though he called those people that he confided in many times and who were able to tell him what his great Babylonian gods were saying, they didn't have an answer. Only God has an answer. And as I said, praise the Lord, there was a messenger there. There was Daniel. And eventually Daniel came. And we notice that he came. He wasn't called for. Daniel came to Nebuchadnezzar into the room, and he'd heard, obviously, that Nebuchadnezzar had this dream, and he needed it explaining. And it's a funny thing, I'm sure, as you know from Sunday school, if we turn back to Daniel 2, we have the exact same scenario. Nebuchadnezzar has a funny dream, can't understand it, wants some help, goes to his astrologers, doesn't get an answer. Daniel has an answer. Why does he not go to Daniel a second time round? How foolish are the ways of mankind. We don't want to hear the truth. And that's why we just ignore it time and time again. And sinner, are you here tonight? And you've maybe heard the truth time and time again. You've maybe sat in this service and been more faithful than some of the Christians here. I know people in my own home churches where they're more faithful to come into church than some of the saved. They've heard the message more times. They could recount it word for word. They could nearly preach. But they ignore its truth. Is that you? Are you ignoring the truth of the gospel tonight? Don't let your foolishness damn you. Daniel gave an interpretation. And really, if we turn across to the verses 19 to 27, really, and Daniel comes in, and I think that Daniel might have been a good friend, at least a very close advisor to Nebuchadnezzar, for it says in the verse 19 there that he was astonied for 1 hour and his thoughts troubled him. He didn't really want to tell Nebuchadnezzar what the meaning was. He was astonished is the word here, but he was burdened for his soul, maybe. He didn't want to know that Nebuchadnezzar was going to have to suffer these things. He didn't want to see Nebuchadnezzar's soul lost. And isn't that how we should be? We should be troubled when we see the damnation of the souls around us. It should really affect us that our neighbours, that our family members might not be going to glory. And Daniel here, he was troubled, and then eventually he gave the message. And the message, essentially, we can boil it down to this. Nebuchadnezzar was going to be great. In fact, he already was, but he was going to become even greater. He was going to do wonderful things. He was going to be on top of the world, king of the universe. And then the Lord was going to humble him. The Lord was going to bring him down. And you see what Daniel says at the end? And this is the burden that Daniel has for him. He doesn't just tell him the message. He pleads with him at the end, "Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee. Break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility." Daniel wanted Nebuchadnezzar to turn, and he pleaded with him to do so. And that's why we're here tonight. That's why this church exists. That's why the church of God is working in this world, because we want to see souls saved. We want to see God's name glorified. We want you to come. Come and be saved, all ye ends of the earth. You know, the Lord Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, in a very fitting verse for Nebuchadnezzar, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" For his time, Nebuchadnezzar practically gained the whole world. But his soul was going to be lost. He was heading the wrong direction. And there was no profit in any of his wondrous and magnificent structures that he created. Of any of his mighty military conquests, there was no profit. And Daniel here, he also highlights God's mercy. If we turn to Romans chapter 9, in the verse 22, and it says, "What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction?" The Lord endured the wickedness of Nebuchadnezzar. The Lord was long-suffering because the Lord is merciful. He's long-suffering with you tonight. He is letting you come to church. He is letting you spend week after week contemplating on the things of God. He is letting you hold the Holy Scriptures in your hand and read them. And that's a privilege in and of itself. The Lord is long-suffering. And I believe that if Nebuchadnezzar had have turned at that moment in time from what Daniel said, I believe that Nebuchadnezzar would never have went mad. I can't say that for definite, but the way that Daniel puts this and the way that Daniel pleads with them, I think that Daniel thought there was a little hope that if he had turned at that instance, he may not have went mad. And I don't know that for sure, but I can tell you for sure tonight that if you turn at this instance, God will accept you. If you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and admit your sin and admit your wickedness and cry unto his name, he'll accept you. There's no doubt in my mind. He loves and he is willing to save all. But we had the prophecy for Nebuchadnezzar. Secondly, I want to see something which is really the epitome of Nebuchadnezzar's life, and that's his pride. Nebuchadnezzar was a very proud man. And to be honest, rightly so in a way. Nebuchadnezzar had some of the most successful military conquests of his time. The structures that Nebuchadnezzar created were for a long time regarded as one of the great wonders of the world. Nebuchadnezzar had done many mighty things, speaking in terms of the world. And he was very proud of these things. He was very proud. And he thought he did it himself, and that was his mistake. You know, it's okay to be proud of some of the things that you accomplish in your life, as long as you attribute them to God's help. And Nebuchadnezzar's mistake was that he thought he was the man. He thought he was the boss. He had done it all. He didn't need anyone's help. He had conquered the world. He had created some of the most magnificent structures this world will ever see. And it was all his doing. He says in verse 30, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" That was his thinking, his pride. You know, the scriptures warn us, and I'm sure we've heard quoted many, many times to us by parents, I have anyway, "Pride cometh before a fall. Get too sure of yourself, you're going to slip up, you're going to make a mistake." And literally for Nebuchadnezzar, that's what happened. Pride, he thought he'd done it himself. And the minute those pride words were out of his mouth, the Lord issued judgment upon him. You know what reminds me of the parable in Luke chapter 12. The rich man who had the great harvest, and he said to himself, "What great things I've done. I'm going to build bigger barns. Things are just going to get better. I'm a great fella." You know, the world likes to think they're in control. Nebuchadnezzar thought he was in control. Maybe you tonight think that you're in control of your destiny. Isn't that what the world says? It says that you think the right way, you do the right thing. You're the one that has the power to change things around for yourself. You're in control. You've got the driving wheel. Steer it whatever way you want. The Lord looks down and laughs on such people, just as he did with the rich man, just as he did with Nebuchadnezzar. In an instant, he can take it all away. Who is really in control? It's the Lord. You know, there's times in the scripture, and if only Nebuchadnezzar had listened to the prophets of his time, or the prophets that were around his time, in Jeremiah chapter 27, Jeremiah chapter 27, Jeremiah mentions Nebuchadnezzar in a unique way. He says in 27 in the verse 6, "And now have I given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar." It wasn't Nebuchadnezzar's doing. It wasn't his great military and strategic thinking of how he directed his army. God had given them. "Now that I've given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant." Nebuchadnezzar wasn't in control at all. He wasn't the top dog. He wasn't the boss. He was just God's servant. Everything that he had accomplished and done in his life, this applies to you as well. This applies to everyone. Everything that you've done and accomplished in your life, the Lord has seen it through. That's a great encouragement for you as a believer. The Lord's looking after your life. He's seeing every step of the way through. You're looking out for something to come to pass. You're maybe wondering about what job you're going to get in the future. Maybe you're wondering about how you're going to afford for something in the future. You don't have to worry. The Lord's controlling it all. He's the one that has the power over all. He's the one who is the God of all creation. He created the heavens and the earth. And we think in this kind of situation of Joseph and what he said at the end of Genesis. He said that his brothers had meant their throwing Joseph into the well and sending him off to slavery. They'd meant it for evil. They'd hated Joseph and done these wicked things, and they thought that they were being in control of Joseph's destiny, getting rid of him. But no. God meant it for good. He was overseeing it all along. And no matter how proud you are tonight, no matter how much you think to yourself, "I got it sorted. What do I need a God for? I'm going to go out tomorrow morning. I'm going to go to my job. I'm going to earn my money. I'm going to go on my holiday. I'm going to save up for that car that I want. I'm doing all these things. I'm accomplishing so much. What is God to me? In an instant, it was taken from Nebuchadnezzar. And let me tell you, in an instant, it could be taken from you. I said this morning, what brings you joy today might not tomorrow. I'm sure we can all realize and see around us how short life is, how quickly it can be put out, how quickly people can fall into trouble, how easily plans can be ruined. I mean, the obvious example here is the entire world didn't see a pandemic coming. And let me tell you, that messed with everybody's plans. Not a person seen that coming. But God did. Changed the very way we lived. Still does. But God knew all about it. It's Him ordained it to happen. God's word always comes to pass. And as His dream, as the prophecy said, He was humiliated. It very specifically says, let His heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto Him. Nebuchadnezzar recounts in his testimony how he eventually went so mad, he was eating the grass of the field, and his nails were growing as long as, can't remember the exact thing. Sorry, his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. What a hysterical sight, really, to be honest. A sad sight. A sight which we can't really imagine, just to be honest. We can't really imagine what shape Nebuchadnezzar was in. Remember, this is a man who probably had one of the greatest minds of his time. You have to be a smart man to outwit pretty much everybody else in your empire. And to stay on top of it all. You have to be a smart man to be able to build a structure with the limited technology he had as 26 stories high. This was not a stupid man. He was very clever. And yet the Lord took that all away with barely Nebuchadnezzar taking a breath, with barely a heartbeat. What a warning to each of us. I need to finish, and I want to get on to the last point because it's the hope, it's the real message of the gospel. The last point I see here is the praise of Nebuchadnezzar. You see, Nebuchadnezzar says many things about the Lord, the Most High God, in Daniel. The first time he says in Daniel chapter 2, he says to Daniel, "If a truth it is that your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords and the revealers of secrets." But if we look at his actions, he was attributing everything to Daniel. He bowed down, he worshipped Daniel. He made Daniel a great man in his courts. And even though he was talking about the Lord God, he didn't really get God. He didn't really get what God was or who God was in all of existence. And then we turn to the end of chapter 3, the second time that Nebuchadnezzar talks about God. And he makes a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss about the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. I think he kind of gets God's power here. But then he goes and he threatens people. He threatens to cut them up for desecrating the Lord, for talking against the Lord. And to be honest, he doesn't really understand the Most High God here. But when we turn to chapter 4, his tune fairly changes. It's quite fitting because the Lord says we will have a new song in our hearts. We will have a new tune in our minds when we're changed. And he is praising the Lord. "I lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation." And he continues like this. And then at the end, he recognizes his sin. He says, "Those that walk in pride, he is able to abase." Nebuchadnezzar realized he was a proud man and God had worked in him. He turned his life around. I'm sure Daniel was rejoicing. I'm sure that things were maybe a little bit different. You know, in history, the final few years of Nebuchadnezzar's life are something that not very much is actually known about. And that does make me wonder. That does make me wonder, was this because people didn't like what Nebuchadnezzar became? I'm not sure. The Word of God doesn't continue on about Nebuchadnezzar's life. It leaves it there. But let me tell you, if you come out praising and singing about the Lord the way Nebuchadnezzar did, there's a change in your heart. Something has been done. And the Lord can do that something for anyone. You can receive this joy. You can receive this peace, this help, this knowledge that God is in control and He is able to take care of you and He is able to lift you up and to give you an understanding of the Holy Scriptures. Today we have a greater prophecy than Nebuchadnezzar had. In Nebuchadnezzar's time it was a vision, and then Daniel came to explain it. But today we have the very Word of God. This book tells us marvelous things. God's Word tells us how His Son came down to die on a cross. God's Word tells us that He lived a life which was perfect, something no man could do. He was born of a virgin, not under sin. He lived a life which was, as I said, perfect, but able to be a substitute for ours. And then He went and He died on the cross and sacrificed Himself in love. He loved the creation He created. He was sorry for what had happened to it, and so He offered a way out. And tonight we extend this way out to you. You know, your sins will damn you. Your pride will bring you lower than you can even imagine. Nebuchadnezzar could not imagine where he would be at. That morning, he would not have imagined where he was at that night. And let me tell you, you cannot imagine where you're going to be at in 2 hours' time, in 1 hour's time, as you leave this meeting and go through that door. You have no idea, really. You're across the road, hit by a car in hospital. Really, we've no idea what a day is going to bring forth. And I plead with you, do not let your pride, your thought that you're in control, don't let that pull you deeper than you really want to go. The Lord Jesus, as I said, He came down, He sacrificed His blood. He let Himself be put upon that cross. As I said this morning, His sacrifice was accepted. He was able to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. And now He's in glory making intercession for each one who will call upon His name. Call upon Him tonight. Turn to the only one who can bring real control into your life, who can show you the understanding of how your life is able to be lived. And that is by faith alone. Faith alone. And the blood of Jesus Christ can truly save souls. And we pray that it will. We're going to close with a hymn. It's the hymn number 394. And we'll stand to sing this hymn together. We thank and praise thee that we can come to Christ. And we know that there is none else that can satisfy our very needs. We thank thee, dear Lord, that we can know the God who is in control of all things. And we just pray tonight that as we go to our separate ways and as we go home, that this message would linger on in the hearts of those that have listened. That those that are saved would put greater trust in the God who is in control. And those that aren't would look to him and trust in faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Pray for thy help and thy protection, and pray that we would, in this incoming week, apply the message we've heard today to our lives. In thy most precious name, amen.